KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Time to talk a little bit about Hawaii, by the way, because today on Coastal Currents, which is, as you know, brought to you by the good people of Kokatat Bayside Garden Supply and Singing Tree Gardens in Dow's Prairie, we're going to talk about Hawaiian boating tradition.
On Humboldt Bay.
On Humboldt Bay, exactly. This is another way that you can get out there. And joining us on the phone, coincidentally, one of our two guests actually went to see the band you just heard last night at the Maui, and Maui opened up for Catch a Fire. We've got with us, from the Humboldt Bay Outrigger Canoe Club, we've got Luke Besmer and Neil Carlson. Neil, you went to the show last night?
Yeah, it was a great show.
They both
rocked it.
Good times. And then we've got Neil Carlson and Luke Besmer. You guys are, oh, I got that right. It's the Humboldt Bay Outrigger Canoe Club?
Humboldt Outrigger Canoe Club. Still hasn't yet to be totally formalized, but Humboldt Outrigger is the quick and easy one.
Do you think it'll ever be formalized?
I hope it will not be.
Well, that's the deal. So Jessica Hall is here. She and Baykeeper, they have a sweet powerboat that they can cruise around on. You guys, you don't take a dim view of powerboats, do you?
All the power in our boat comes from us, from Neil.
Mostly Neil.
Yeah, no, our boat, we use paddles and we move it through the bay as quick as we can.
So an outrigger canoe, if people do not know what that is, you can pop over to khum.com right now and see a photo and also catch a link over to the Humboldt Bay Outrigger Canoe Club Facebook page. But it's basically a canoe with a pontoon, right?
Yeah, you got one pontoon that comes off the side. It's called the Ama. The Ama is held by two yakus. They're the crossbars that kind of hold it off, and it prevents the boat from flipping over. It gives us some stability. They're made to go in the open ocean with big swells and wind and big water. So, yeah, they're definitely made to be stable. We've yet to take this one out into the ocean here. Give us one more year for that.
Why is this boat not ocean ready?
It probably is. It's more having the crew totally ready, that if there was an emergency out there, that everyone knows what to do and are confident enough water people to avert any disaster.
Would you imagine actually taking it through the bar, or would you drive out and actually put it out to water?
If you just play the tides right, we could definitely get out out of the entrance. But yeah, we definitely would have to watch the tides.
What were the traditional uses of, I mean, obviously fishing would be the main one, but like how was the outrigger used in Hawaii, and what's a little bit of its history?
Transportation. That's how the outriggers, and then like the double-hulled outrigger canoes, that's how they got from Polynesian islands up to Hawaii. So, yeah, that was probably even more so than fishing. The use for it was just getting from island to island places.
So about how many miles would they travel to do that?
Oh, great. I think, good question. A couple thousand, I imagine,
from
Tahiti to Hawaii, something like that. They would hang their toes over the end of the boats, or they'd hang their toes in the waters, and just they'd have a line of guys with their toes in the water, and people would feel the swells bouncing off islands from your sensitivity on the toes. So the guy at one end of the boat, if he felt a little thing, at one end, you would the guy next to him eventually, anyways, that you'd be able to feel the waves bouncing off islands, and that's how they were able to navigate that and the stars from Tahiti to Hawaii.
What? Okay, hold on, because you hear these stories about like people who can predict the surf because the air smells a certain way.
There is something to that.
Wow.
No, I'm not doubting that. That makes sense to me, but the idea that a person's toes are so sensitive that you could feel water bouncing off an island that you can't even see.
Yeah.
That sounds like a myth. Is there any testing to back that up? That sounds amazing.
It's something I learned. I lived on the Big Island when I was a little kid, so it was one of those things I was told back then. Maybe it is a myth. I choose to believe it, though.
Nice. Wait, who just said that? Who spent time on the island?
This is Luke.
Luke. Are you from Hawaii?
I lived there when I was in 6th and 7th grade as a kid. So not from there, but it is a little bit of home.
And what about you, Neil?
I grew up in Arcata. I prior to
Luke getting the Hanaho, which is the name of the outrigger canoe. I'd never paddled before, but it's something that I've always been interested in. To speak to that, this is we're really building the club right now. There are a lot of experience levels, and we welcome, you know, novices and experts, people that have never done it, just interested in it.
Yeah, we've got all age ranges, like types of people. We're very like diverse group, and the main goal is to have fun. I mean, secondarily would be then exercise and stuff like that, but really just to have fun on the bay.
Eventually competition.
Get
towards racing and get towards, you know, maybe doing Trinidad to the entrance paddle, a long paddle involving open water changes and support boats, you know, do some fun stuff on the ocean.
Look, I mean, I knew this would be interesting, but I didn't expect to have like this flurry of questions, but I got to go back to the historic like great distance travel. How do you stay alive in a canoe for months?
Right. Well, those ones, they would have two canoes connected together, and then a platform between the two canoes, and a nice like kind of hut tent, you know, a thatch roof hut in the middle of those are
big sails, sailing canoes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how they'd stay alive, and they definitely brought a lot of coconuts and things like that. But yeah, they'd have you know the main boat with the sail and the tent, and they'd have a few basic outriggers for people to move things along.
Are these the same guys who went down to Easter Island as well?
I don't know.
That's a good question. That, I mean, to me, just the idea of getting in a boat and like going, well, we're going that way,
yeah.
And we think something's out there, and we are going to bet our life on it, and we are going to keep paddling until we die or are proven correct. That is, like, how many people got that wrong before somebody got it right?
That's
pretty much what we do every weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's awesome. If you're just tuning in, we've got Luke Besmer and Neil Carlson there with the sort of fledgling Humboldt Bay Outrigger Canoe Club. If you want to see a beautiful picture of their boat on the waters of Humboldt Bay, just pop over to khum.com right now. Give them a like on Facebook, and you can follow up with what they're doing. This boat, how is it different from traditional boats, traditional outrigger canoes?
You know, traditionally it would be made out of wood, one giant tree, where this is a fiberglass boat. There's a little bit of wood on it, but yeah, mostly it's just fiberglass. Beyond that, the design is as traditional as it'll get. The boat itself is probably some 30 years old. It was donated to us to start the club by a gentleman down in Monterey. He had it donated to him to start the Monterey Outrigger Canoe Club. And there is a rumor that this boat's been up and down the state helping start clubs.
Oh, cool.
That is cool.
Why only one pontoon? Why not do two?
That would slow it down, and I bet it would make turning more difficult. Just adding weight to it, yeah, just not necessary. You figure if the pontoon's on the left side of the boat, so if there's ever an issue, a big swell, wind comes up, everyone just leans left, and that's as much as support or, you know, as much as stability as you really need.
Now, when you look at, if you're driving over, like, Samoa Bridge, and you see the crew club out there and their skulls, that's what they're called, right, the skulls?
Like
you went to Princeton, right, the skulls?
I didn't row at Princeton.
Okay. But the thing that catches me is that they're not wearing life jackets in those crew boats, and while they are probably a little more tippy than the boat that you have, I see here in the photo you guys are also not wearing life jackets. What's the plan here?
We do carry life jackets.
Yeah.
We have a life jacket for each of us, and Kokotat very generously donated to the club six life jackets. So we're safety conscious. We're keeping them in the boat, and...
Can the paddle float? Is a paddle technically a PFD?
No, I don't think we can say that. No, wearing life jackets would be just way too restricting, and it's not necessary.
Surf these boats? Is that a thing that people do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go online and type in surfing outrigger, and you'll see some pretty amazing stuff.
Is there a skill to that? Like, does everybody have to get in the back of the boat to slow it down if the wave's too steep? Or
well, there is, like, everyone's got to lean the proper way. Different people have different responsibilities, like, seats 3 and 4. All the seats are numbered, so the middle seats would be 3 and 4. Those guys are in charge of making that, keeping that Ama in the water, so they're leaning left or not. The steersman definitely has to get some good technique down. So, yeah, surfing a big outrigger, that takes some serious skill.
So when you're out there on the water, do you guys have any close encounters with the seals or dolphins or anything?
Oh, yeah, there's always seals. I haven't seen many dolphins. Yesterday, I have a one-man outrigger, too, that I raced. Yesterday, I was out on the bay, and I had a school of stingray swim underneath me.
Wow.
That was about the coolest thing I've seen in a while. So, yeah, we certainly are in close contact or close quarters with wildlife.
Other than just cruising around, I mean, is there another utility for this? I mean, is there a traditional, like, fishing use or?
Just being, like, really cool. Oh, yeah.
This is a very important use.
Yeah. We need it so that we can be cool.
Yeah. I mean, outrigger technology is all over the world. It, you know, many cultures and places have used outriggers off of canoes just for, you know, safety. It's a stable platform to work from, you know, whether you're diving, fishing, going transporting goods or transporting people or yourself. It's a pretty efficient and easy way to not tip over.
No, yeah. Look, tipping over's got its fun parts, but if your life is in the balance, maybe less fun. I know that Cocotat is a big sponsor of you. By the way, they sponsor Coastal Currents as well. We have that in common. But who else is helping the Humboldt Bay Outrigger Canoe Club?
Oh, gosh. Lots of folks have pitched in one way or another. The rowing club is gracious enough to let us park the boat under the bridge, so people are driving over looking at the school boats. They can see the Hunahou parked there. Long, 45-foot-long canoe.
How do you spell Hunahou, by the way?
Hanahou. And it means encore or one more time. And I was actually at that show last night, too. And I think their last song they played, or, you know, always at concerts, they yell, Hunahou, Hunahou, like for encore, like, you know, come back one more time. So it's if you go to these island reggae shows, you'll hear people yelling it.
That's awesome. Did you tell them after the show?
No, I meant to, but I didn't bump into anybody.
We got Luke Besmer and Neil Carlson from the Humboldt Bay Outrigger Canoe Club. Again, KM.com's got a pretty picture of the boat and the outrigger canoe. Is there any plan to go fully traditional, but maybe with locally sourced materials? Like if you can find a log, hollow it out, make a boat that way?
That would be awesome. A heck of a lot of work there. So, I mean, we would love to get another boat going, whether it's traditional. I'm sure there's some woodworkers up here that'd be really happy to get into a project like that. Yeah, that would be someday on the horizon, yes.
So, did you go over to the Morris Graves where they had the exhibit on Native American artwork, River is Home, and there was this beautiful dugout canoe in the center as you come into the building there?
No, I missed that.
Oh, you got to see it.
It was stunning.
Okay. Yeah,
it's like halfway to outrigger. What kind of trees were used in the original Hawaiian outrigger?
Hawaiian was koa wood. It's a type of acacia tree, actually. Acacia koa, I believe, is the name of it. And it's the rich, hard, beautiful, beautiful wood. I think potentially endangered now. But, yeah, that's what they used to use back then.
Oh, that is so cool. All right. Well, before we wrap this up, and thanks, you guys, for keeping it so cool. But the public, is this a hard club to get into?
Not at all. Basically, contact us via the Facebook is a great way, or I guess my phone number, I mean, or lukebesmer@gmail.com is a great way. I'll set up a humbleoutrigger@gmail.com too. I think we've got that going. So that's a good way to get on a list. And basically what I'll do is I'll text or call people when we're going out and try to put a boat together. And if I can get, you know, we need six people run, or it's the boat's made for six folks. So I can go between four and even seven. I can sit an extra person in there. So if I can get that many people together, we'll be heading out. So it's really very easy. I'm not charging any kind of club dues. It's very informal right now. I'm keeping it as organic as possible. I don't want to turn it into any sort of bureaucratical nonprofit organization until it really has to be.
and a laugh emerges from Humboldt Baykeeper.
Yes, the nonprofit side of things.
Yeah.
Mike, a super easy way would be to come down on a Saturday. This Saturday, for instance, 10 o'clock, we'll be down there and we're going to go for a paddle. So if anyone is interested in coming down.
So I got a closing question for you guys. Let's say someone's really eager, but isn't necessarily the strongest person in the world. Maybe not exactly.
Not a problem.
Yeah?
It's technique is how you really get moving, and that's learned over time and practice. And strength comes with, or you'll get stronger. But really, it's just if you have, we have all age ranges and athletic abilities. So it really is very low impact. It's as much of a workout as you make it for yourself. It's a very inviting sport.
As long as you're not dragging your paddle in the water like the opposite way, slowing people down, it's going to be fine. Where's a typical outrigger excursion take you guys? You do a couple of laps around the islands? Or
we'll go around the islands. We'll go out. It all, again, depends on what the tide's doing. We'll head out just towards the Coast Guard station out there and come back. We'll go out to see the Samoa Cookhouse and come back around. We keep it parked by the row house underneath the Samoa bridges on the Eureka side.
We launch right there.
So, we launch there and kind of, just depends what the tide is. And we'll go up behind the slough behind Target. That's always a nice little ride.
Ryan Slough up there, nice and still on a high tide. You can get all the way up to Three Corners Market on that.
That's what we hear. One day we will.
Yeah, it's good times. Well, it's been great talking to you, Luke Besmer, Neil Carlson. We're gonna let you guys go here, but if people want more information, again, Saturday at 10 a.m.
Saturday at 10, yes.
HumboldtOutrigger@gmail.com will get going, and, of course, a link over at khum.com to the Facebook page
awesome.
So people can reach out to you guys and spread that aloha around. Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Luke.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right.
Yep. Bye.
Those guys were really uptight. And it made me a little uncomfortable how uptight they were.
You think they need to relax a little?
I think they could dial it down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, speaking of dialing, I'm hoping people will call or write to protest GE salmon.
Genetically engineered salmon.
That's right.
Right.
And there's a petition that is linked to at the Humboldt Baykeeper website that will lead you to a petition where you can let the government know that you don't like this stuff.
Not a fan.
Not a fan.
Why not? Make the case.
Oh, Mike.
No, you don't need to make the case. I don't think anybody listening right now needs to be sold on the weirdness of genetically modified organisms.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know Atlantic salmon?
What about Atlantic salmon?
You know what Atlantic salmon is.
I've heard of Atlantic salmon.
But you know that it's not salmon.
No.
It's like cod. I can't remember what species, but they catch a fish and they dye it red.
You mean today's Atlantic salmon?
Apparently, that's what one guest on the show told me that.
Because once upon a time, there was Atlantic salmon.
Oh, that's good times. We'll get that back. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
Sustainable fisheries, you guys. It's not that hard. All right. I say that like I know what it would take. Get a sustainable fishery.
Oh, maybe.
I know West Coast fisheries are pretty good. I know that the management of West Coast fisheries is by most accounts pretty sound.
We're doing all right.
Yeah.
You know, there's
it could be way worse.
There's a great book out there called King of Fish that is about the issues around salmon fisheries. It starts actually in Europe, looking at Atlantic salmon and how Atlantic salmon crashed in the Middle Ages and in the Industrial Revolution, and then comes to the U.S. and looks at how East Coast colonialism damaged the salmon fishery there, and then jumps to the West Coast.
Oh, wow.
Really building the case for like what these collapses, how the pressure on the species builds and then the collapse occurs.
Right.
So King of Fish, excellent book.
King of Fish, says Jessica Hall. I can't add any advice to that other than I learned recently that roadkill does not work in a crab trap that well.
Hmm.
Which
Did
is
you
weird.
Try that?
No, but I know a guy.
You're a vegetarian. Yeah, you wouldn't do that.
Oh, but look, I'm the most meat-obsessed vegetarian you'll ever meet. Thank you, Jessica Hall.
Thank you, Mike Junkers.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Mally. And again, humboldtoutrigger@gmail.com. Or just show up. Get down underneath the Samoa Bridge Saturday morning, 10 a.m. We'll be right back.
This has been a KHUM production. For more information, check out khum.com or search KHUM in iTunes.